Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Before we begin the show today, I want to send out prayers to family members and friends that lost loved ones to this pandemic of COVID-19. Our prayers go out to you and your family. I also want to send special prayers out to all of the first responders and first line workers, the persons that are pumping our gas, the gal or guy at the grocery store that is packing our bags and assisting us, jeopardizing their lives every day to bring us a normal life. It's unfortunate what happened to George Floyd, who was killed by Minneapolis police officers recently. Our prayers go out to him and his family and his friends, and also to all those who have been killed by police brutality. Today's show is about why are blacks more likely to have a negative interaction with police. Statistics show that blacks comprise 14% of the U.S. population but commit 52% of the crimes. We are honored and blessed to have in the studio former mayoral candidate from Hamilton Township, David Henderson, wanted to come on to the show today to weigh in on this national debate. Let's welcome him into the studio, my dear friend and brother. David, how are you, sir?
I'm just doing fine, Chauncey. It's an honor to be on your show again, and thanks for reaching out to me. We're certainly living in some tough times. The COVID virus impacting society in such a great way, and then on top of it, the question of the killing of George Floyd, certainly unfortunate incident, and I think it sparked a conversation throughout the country, and I would hope that the inconvenient part of the conversation can be had, because we are not going to have racial equity and cooperation and unity in the country until the air gets cleared on a whole lot of things. I disdain quite a bit of the half-truths and false-truths that are out there. And I think that, the fact of the matter is 96% of police brutality cases are brought as the result of complaints made by other police officers. First thing I want to say is police have a tough job. They're on the front line. I got to say also that there's a certain segment of society that's vilified police. This whole defund police thing is ludicrous. They're going to defund police. Who's going to be your first responders in a shooting incident, a domestic violence, any number of things? And I think that one of the parts of the conversation that we have to have regarding police and defunding police and police brutality is why do individuals of any race, of any ethnic background, interact with the police? For the most part, it's due to aberrant behavior and criminality. Certainly, there's a lot of individuals that are stopped by the police, questioned by the police, who are innocent, and they're subject of they look like somebody else. The car matched the description. I've been in that situation. I've been pulled over. Your car looked like the car that was named. You know what? I was a little irritated by it, but at the end of the day, I was happy the police were doing their job and looking for the bad guys. You brought up a statistic that African Americans are arguably 14% of the population in the United States, and anywhere from, you know, the numbers range anywhere from 14 to 16, but suffice it to say, they are a minority group. But you want to look at the statistics of who's committing crimes and who's charged with the crimes, It's anywhere around 50%, anywhere from 50 to 60%. And for a small segment of the population to be involved in that much crime should be addressed. We can certainly on another show debate why that is, and I would agree with people that would say, well, the African American in this country, a certain segment of the African American population in this country doesn't have the economic opportunities, something that a lot of African Americans would call white privilege, don't have the economic opportunities that others in society have. I'd respond to that there are a significant amount of African Americans who have, for want of a better term, pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, become educated, gotten good jobs. It's not easy for anybody, regardless of race, religion, or creed, to succeed in this country. But it's easier than in a lot of other countries in this nation. I guess what you need to do is make sure you don't have any warrants, make sure your driver's license is active, and make sure you got your auto insurance, and you're going to save yourself a lot of headaches right there. I was in an instance just recently where my license has expired, and I interacted with the police. It happened. So what are your thoughts on that, Sean?
Well, that's interesting. Dave, the first thing I want to mention is this push to defund the police department. The greatest individuals that would be hurt by defunding the police department are minorities. And
without
people
a doubt.
At the lower, within the lower social economic level. Defunding the police department and protecting law-abiding citizens, I think is I can't even believe that we're even having a conversation about defunding a police department. There are good cops and there are bad cops. Unfortunately, the lame mainstream media takes the bad cops and tries to paint a picture of all cops. I have family members that are cops. Okay, cops do more good in our community through community policing, through being a first responder, through community outreach, through going into the schools, than they do of harming individuals in those communities. And it is a shame the media and politicians want to exacerbate when a white individual kills a black person that it's racism. Why don't you have the same fervor when a black cop kills a black person or when a white cop kills a white person? This dynamic of division in our country must stop. You have good and bad in all. But to try to say that police departments are systemically racist is not true. This is not the 1950s and 60s. Okay, the institution of itself is not racist. Individuals are. And the institution has been corrected by the federal government instituting in 1972, EEOC is one of the avenues. The Civil Rights Act, all of these things have been put in place to combat discrimination and racism in all organizations in this country. So there are policies in place. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you bring up some really, the core of the crux of the problem. The powers that be that want to divide us, and look, I'll go by, I think I already said it, George Floyd's killing, and I'll say killing because I wasn't there. It's being investigated. The justice system is working. The police officer who killed him is been charged. There'll be a trial. The information, the evidence will be presented to a jury of his peers. The killing of George Floyd, notwithstanding, I don't know what is systemic. The power should be labeled systemic racism. We have a police department that is in Minneapolis that's primarily minority. It's got black police chief, a liberal,
a black mayor,
I'm sorry, I think he's a white mayor, but he's extremely liberal.
Oh, okay.
They have a liberal Democrat governor, and Keith Ellison, a black man, is the attorney general in Minnesota. So, you know, to label it as systemic racism is ludicrous, but that's what fits their narrative. 99% of police officers, and there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 750,000 law enforcement officers in this country, 99.9% of them are going to go to work today, and everything's going to be fine. They're going to serve the community. Somebody threw something out to me the other day that when 9/11 took place, when the radical Muslims flew the airplanes into the World Trade Center, the left was screaming, "Don't label all Muslims because of those Muslims." How about if we don't label all police officers about what this guy Chauvin did? So let's not label all police officers. You touched on something about police defunding the police, and I think it's just a catchphrase. They know that police aren't going to be defunded. They don't even want police to be defunded. I'll point something out that happened in Chicago over the weekend. So the Chicago mayor had to call in the National Guard, and the aldermen in Chicago are now criticizing her because the National Guard, she had them deployed in downtown Chicago around all the high-end, expensive condos, townhouses, and lofts, and around all the high-end, expensive stores. She didn't want to happen in Chicago, what happened on Fifth Avenue. The aldermen are complaining about that. Where was the problem? The problem was in South Chicago, where the minorities live, where the financially challenged individuals live. Who protected them? Let's wind way back to the issues of the LAPD and the Rodney King incident. The Rodney King incident came as the result of a clamor for more law and order in Los Angeles, and primarily came as a clamor from the people in South Central, good working class blue collar people in South Central, who were consistently being harassed and frightened by the hoods and the gangs in South Central. And what happened? They released an arrogant bully like Daryl Gates. He militarized the police department. And over a 10-year period through the 80s, he brought law and order with an iron fist. But guess what? It started erupting. They had some bad results on tactics, the chokehold, the carotid chokehold. Over a period of time in the 80s, seven individuals died from the chokehold being applied. And the city of Los Angeles outlawed the chokehold. The problem being that they never retrained those police officers and gave them another tool. I think that, you know, some of the stuff that has to – retraining is definitely in line. And I think that police don't get enough time in the academy. They don't get any hand-to-hand fighting methods, whether it be, a martial arts or something to that effect. That's a big tool in non-lethal control of suspects, and they don't get any of that. So what happened with Rodney King? Rodney King, they had no other tools. They couldn't put the chokehold on him. All they had was the baton. and the taser, and he didn't react to the taser. 30% of the people will not react to the taser. People think a taser is the do-all and say-all, but it's not. 30% of people that get hit with tasers aren't affected by it. So then all they had was I went back and looked at the video of the Rodney King beating, and it was a terrible beating. He didn't deserve that. There should have been another method to bring him down and to control him. The officers kept looking back at the sergeant, Sergeant Coons. They looked back at Coons and said, "What should we do now?" And he didn't have an answer. So, you know, they need to be retrained. I want to point out, you know, I looked at the refreshing when I looked at the Rodney King thing. You know, there was this huge upheaval that Rodney King was systemic racism, that they beat Rodney King because he was a black man and it was all white officers. I want to remind everybody, it wasn't very well publicized, that there were two other black men in the car with Rodney King, and it was Brian Allen and Freddie Helms. They were in the car with Rodney King. Rodney King had just led the highway patrol on a half an hour chase, which ended up in L.A., and Brian Allen and Freddie Helms listened to the instructions of the LAPD to get down on their stomach, and they were cuffed and put in the car. That was all going on while Rodney King was getting hit with the baton. So, and I don't want to digress too far with the L.A. issue, but, you know, shortly after the L.A. issue with Rodney King in 1993, Gates resigned. They retrained L.A., and they brought it in line with Justice Department standards. One thing that I have to say I'm surprised about in Minneapolis, I just read that Minneapolis the other day after the George Floyd incident, Minneapolis outlawed the chokehold. I can't believe that any police departments in the country, after the incidents that happened in L.A., were still using the armbar chokehold or the carotid artery chokehold. So,
Dave, for those that are tuning in, this is U.S. National Politics. I'm your host. Why blacks are more likely to have a negative interaction with police. In the studio with me is former mayoral candidate from Hamilton Township, David Henderson, weighing in. Dave, I would like to make a couple of comments. Okay. We have seen bad officers commit criminal acts against people. Policies, directives within these police departments, and I'm glad that the president and the GOP is looking at ways where we can reform policing. The main responsibility of a police officer is to protect, okay, and to serve and to defuse an incident, not escalate an incident. And we need to look at these departmental policies across the country on how these police officers continually interact with people, whether they're black, white, it does not matter. There also has to be, as you stated, more training. If these white cops have never grown up in a black community, they do not know and understand how to interact with black or Hispanic people. That's a problem. Because if they don't know how to interact and communicate, okay, that is another problem. Okay, Dave, I'll let you chime in because we only have about 7 minutes left. Go ahead.
Well, to digress a little bit to talk about just what you said, if they don't know how to interact, I challenged some friends of mine the other day to go out and have a heart-to-heart with someone of another race, another background, another creed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story that I tell, and a number of years ago I had and I have friends from all walks of life, and I had a party in my yard, a cookout, a number of years ago, and everybody was invited, And one of my very good friends, and I would classify this guy as one of the three nicest guys that I've ever met in the world, white guy, three nicest guys, went to high school in the Mercer County area at a mixed-race high school. 60% African-Americans went to the high school that he went to, when he went there. During the course of the day, he sat at a table and spoke to a couple of my black friends. At the end of the night, it was he and I sitting at the table, finishing off a couple of beers, shooting a breeze. It was a good day. We had a nice day. You know what he said to me? And at the time, he was about 45 years old. A 45-year-old white man living in Mercer County. Mercer County is about, about national average, 16% black. Went to a 60% black high school. He said, "You know what, Dave? I never really sat down and had a conversation with a black man before." I almost fell off my chair. You know, what breeds contempt? What you don't know. What's the enemy? Ignorance. So you know what? Anybody that's listening, I'll give the challenge to the people I gave on my social media page. Stop somebody of another race and talk to them. The guy that pumps your gas, you might have a great gas pumping relationship. Ask him what he cares about. Your barrister at the coffee place. You say hello, good morning, everything's great, they're a nice person. Ask them what they care about. You get to know people as people. One thing I found out in my life, and I gotta tell you another story about my mother and father. My father was born in 1914, my mother was born in 1917. They grew up as children of the Depression. They grew up in an age and an era where racism was institutionalized. Colored's only water fountain. Can't go in the pool. My parents never once said a racially charged word, a prejudicial word about anybody. And I am so thankful that I grew up in that household. So let's Amen. Get to be friends with our fellow man.
Amen, Dave. I can't agree with you more. And I was raised in a household by parents that taught me you treat people how they treat you. There is good and bad in every race. And I'm thankful that my parents shared that with me because I have the insight to not judge someone based on their color, but by the character and the content of their being, as so well eloquently stated by Dr. Martin Luther King. We know we have many challenges in this country. The media is no friend to this country, and some politicians in our nation are no friend to this country. In these segments of our community and our country wants to divide and create chaos, but we can't buy into it. We must have God in our life, and we must share more love. Go ahead, Dave.
Don't you follow the money. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money keeping us divided. They want us divided. So, you know, we just got to – we're all human beings. We've got to be human beings for each other.
Ben, that's the key. We forget that we're all human beings. If we had a country of all blind people, how would we interact if we couldn't see their color or skin?
Yep.
You know, and people need to look at it in that perspective. But I have to reiterate, the country that we live in has lost its moral compass. We need God back in our schools, we need God back in our life, and we need to share more love with each other. As you said, we need to talk to someone of the opposite race. We need to talk to people who we don't know. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them what they care about. There is no more interaction. As a result of technology and cell phones, everything is emotion and reaction. And it's sad.
We miss a lot of stuff in a text message.
Yes. D, Dave, we have a couple of more minutes left, so I'll let you wrap up, and I hope that you'll come back on again, but go ahead.
First of all, Chauncey, thanks for having me on. I consider myself lucky to have you as a friend. We can talk. I can come back on anytime you'd like. I'd like to leave you with a closing thought, something I was thinking about when come to mind what you were thinking. The other thing is, we got a lot of problems in this country. I don't want to be cliche-ish, but we're a pretty good country. I've been all over the world a lot. I think the last count, I was in 38 different countries, worked in 38 different countries, visited. There's a lot of stuff going on in other countries. I mean, these Black Lives Matter people, you know, obviously I don't agree with them. But you know what? It's part of the American way that allows them to do it. Go look at what happens to protesters in China. And I want to add one more thing. People talk about racism, and I'm not condoning racism. I'm not condoning any of that. But where are the protests, and where are our government officials, and where is the UN? You know, right now, today, there's slaves being sold. There's black men being sold in Libya right now, the Barbary Coast, where the Marines went in 1883 to protect the interests of this country from the Barbary pirates. Slaves are being sold all over the world. So there's a lot of work that we got to do.
Dave, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, lending your insight to this national debate about police interaction with blacks and where we are as a nation. I am honored and blessed that you are my friend, and I will have you back on the show so we can continue this conversation. God bless you and your family, Dave, and thank you very much again.
Thanks, Sean, to you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, where we were discussing why blacks are more likely to have negative interactions with police with former Hamilton Township mayoral candidate David Henderson. Next week, join us, same time, same place. We are going to have Jesse Rood, National Executive for Constitutional Grassroots Movement, talking about the impact on our Constitution and lack of in today's society. You can follow U.S. Politics on Twitter. You can also follow us at U.S. Politics 101 on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Right Talk Host. You can also follow me at Facebook at Right Talk Radio Host. We thank you all for tuning in to our show. We thank you for your support. We keep all of you in our prayers. Stay safe. And God bless you all. Good night now.